The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Wednesday, April 21st, and we are continuing on with our positional ranking series where we talk about edge players and linebacker rankings with our pal Josh Edwards. Also in the feed, wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, offensive linemen, defensive tackles. Oh my, rankings across the board. We have so many rankings for you. Make sure and check those out. We will have defensive back prospects rankings coming up. You know, we usually talk to our pal Brian McFadden, who's a former NFL defensive back, but he's been really busy because he has to do his own podcast, which you should check out. This time he talks to former Washington football team quarterback, not RG3, but the guy who was drafted the same year as him, 101st overall, Kirk Cousins. That's right. On this week's episode of the All Things Covered podcast, you can hear from the guy that replaced the Heisman winner. Cousins, the latest guest, as Patrick Peterson connects with his new Vikings teammate on how to handle the Minnesota winners, the origins of You Like That, and Cousins' memorable journey through the NFL. Follow All Things Covered wherever you find this podcast. Josh Edwards, talking edge and linebacker rankings. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, man. We're a little over a week away from the start of the draft. I think everybody has...
You guys are losing it. All you draft guys are kind of losing it. This is funny. You're like, all right, you know what? Is it circadian rhythms? Does that count? Because like normally, my wife's birthday is this Friday. Normally draft weekend is her birthday weekend. She hates the draft. But now, you know, no draft on her birthday. It's a week later. It's driving me crazy. It's throwing me off in terms of my timing.
Yeah, it's almost like Punxsutawney Phil came out and he's like, hey, we're going to have two more weeks of the draft this year. That's kind of how it's felt. I mean, it's dragged on at this point in time. I think everybody's just kind of ready to get going, and here in a week we'll actually be able to do that.
I agree. Let's get going. So this time next week, we will be like 24 hours out from the draft, which is kind of exciting. That's when the rumors and the buzz are going to be going nuts. Hopefully I know I'll have plenty of prop bets in because I already have plenty of prop bets in. One of them may involve defensive. One of them definitely involves a linebacker bet that I just placed, which we'll discuss. I don't think I have any edge bets, but I do want to hear about your top five edge players. But first I want to ask you, like if you were grading this class as a whole, this edge class, what grade would you give it?
I'd give it like a B minus.
That seems generous.
Just kind of an incomplete grade because all of these guys do have different question marks. You know, we could look back in 5 years and say, man, this class was abysmal. We could also look back in 5 years and say, hey, there's, you know, a couple of all pros to come out of that list. So, you know, there's some guys that have some promising traits, but if they were completely polished, we'd be talking about them in the top 10.
Yep. No edge players expected to go in the top 10. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see any I bet we see potentially just one defensive player in the top 10, assuming the Cowboys stay where they are. And Lord knows they could take an offensive lineman because they're sort of losing out there. Very good chance we don't see an edge player taken until the second half of the draft. We'll start at the bottom of your list. And these guys are all kind of clumped together. Gregory Rousseau out of Miami, your number five edge rusher.
Yeah, so it actually ends up being flipped from where we started this process because, you know, he was considered a top 10 prospect shortly after the draft last year. A guy with incredible length. He decided to opt out of this past season. In 2019, most of his production in terms of sacks came over interior offensive linemen. So you would be expected to be quicker than the interior offensive linemen. So a lot of people wanted to see how he had developed over the course of a year, and see how it translated to the field, but we didn't get to see that. So, there's just a little bit more questions when it comes to Gregory Rousseau. He has been training with Chuck Smith out of Atlanta, who, has been, you know, really good working with edge rushers and using their hands. So I'm curious to see how he takes that to the field. But his pro day, he did some good things. The 40-yard dash was pretty good overall. The 10-yard split was good. The agility drills were a little concerning. It was a little slower than maybe what was anticipated. But at the same time, you know, I was told he put on like 20 pounds from where he was listed last year. So you can kind of understand, you know, where it's coming from, but it just adds to the pile of question marks. So, he could end up being the best edge rusher in this class. I just don't feel comfortable projecting him there at this point.
Yeah, a lot of questions surrounding him. He is a Miami teammate who also has questions as well. We'll talk about him in a second. But first, Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia, your number four edge player.
Yeah, he is a very active player. He can play standing up. He can play hand in the dirt. He can drop into coverage. He can rush the passer. I'd like to see him work on his pass rushing diversity a little bit more. Add a few more moves to his arsenal. But a really talented player. His younger brother, BJ, is a really talented player at LSU as well. I think he's probably a name to know for, you know, a year or two down the road. But Azeez is a guy that can go mid to late first round. We're talking about the Cardinals, the Colts, the Titans as teams of potential interest. And, you know, Rousseau, late round one, early round two is kind of where we're looking for him. I consider the Browns, the Ravens, a team that, you know, values length and looks for that in that position. The Buccaneers and the Jets as possible destinations for Gregory Rousseau in the bottom half of the first round or early into round two. But yeah, those two guys, again, lots of skills, very talented players, but you just have a few concerns.
Is Ojulari a guy that needs to be scheme specific, or I mean, like, you know, like in other words, is he sort of a outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense? I mean, can he, you know, how would he fit with a team that has a 4-3 defense, or is he really more specified to that 3-4?
Yeah, I think he's got some versatility. Yeah. I think he could possibly play hand in the dirt at the next level as a 4-3 defensive end, but a guy that is going to offer versatility because, as we'll talk about with the defensive backs, the more that you can do, the more value you have for a team. So Ojulari is a guy that, you know, can potentially drop back into coverage and provide the quarterback with some different looks, as opposed to just being a one trick pony.
And Ojulari too, like still kind of raw as a pass rusher. I mean, like he's obviously a ton of upside, because we're talking about him in this vein. Pete Prisco has him going 21st overall in his latest mock draft to the Colts and noting that he seems to fit what the Colts like in their edge players. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. I think you're kind of looking in that Justin Houston mold, a guy who I believe is still unsigned, has been productive with Indianapolis over the past couple of seasons, you know, kind of dipping into that fountain of youth and giving them a little bit of pass rush, assistance off the edge. But yeah, that's kind of what you're thinking with Azeez Ojulari, a guy that, is obviously going to give you some youthful infusion into your defense. But he can do everything. I mean, like I said, he can drop into coverage. He can rush the passer. So, the versatility, you know, would be great in Matt Eberflus's system.
All right. So we mentioned Ojulari as an edge player. However, worth noting, and I'm sure Debo has this prepped, if you want to bet on Ojulari at William Hill, you can do so, but he is listed as a linebacker. So in other words, you would not be wagering on him as an edge rusher or a defensive lineman. It would be as a linebacker. We'll talk about that more in just a little bit when we talk about the linebacker. Sorry, Debo, I didn't mean to throw you under the proverbial bus. Number three, Joe Tryon out of Washington.
Yeah, this is an interesting player because he's kind of polarizing in the draft circles. I'm in the group that likes him a little bit more, whereas, you know, there's some others that think he might still be available as you get into day three, or I mean into round three, rather. I think he's got a high floor. I think he's also got a high ceiling. He's got a tremendous motor, fast hands. I think he could use them, you know, a little bit more efficiently to really polish his pass rushing skill set. And I think that's where he has the most room for growth. If he's able to lock in and get that corrected, you're talking about a guy that, you know, has tremendous potential and is going to be a key difference maker in the NFL for whichever team drafts him. So I'm thinking late round one, early round two for Joe Tryon. I look at the Browns, the Chiefs, the Jets as some teams that, you know, could possibly use his services.
The guys who are we're mentioning as these edge rushers, it's really, I think it's really going to be fascinating. And you can see first guy off the board, first defensive lineman off the board. I mean, if you're splashing down on this bet, Joe Tryon 50-1, that seems pretty unlikely to happen, but you know, I'm not paying $1.80 for Kwity Paye. I would consider Jalen Phillips at 2-1. I actually do have a bet on Christian Barmore at 8-1 or 7.5-1 maybe. I don't know if I even really love it because I guess my point is, Josh, I don't know what is going to happen once we get past really 12 or 13. I think the Chargers are probably taking an offensive lineman, but anything is fair game there. They could certainly go with a cornerback. I think Minnesota, they're taking cornerbacks in the first round all the time. They need edge help. They could use quarterback help after Kirk Cousins is gone. The Patriots are a wild card and could trade down. It just feels like it is a very unpredictable second half of the first round. And I mean, isn't it possible that these teams are all over the place in terms of how they have these defensive linemen on their board?
Yeah, no question. This is a year where teams have these guys ranked in a completely different order. I mean, you may talk to one team that has the fourth or fifth guy as their top edge rusher, whereas you talk to another team that, you know, has their fourth or fifth edge rusher as somebody else's number one edge rusher. So it's a very, I don't want to say toxic, but it's a very polarizing year for the position because there's no consensus. I mean, everybody loves what Jalen Phillips brings to the table. But we'll talk about, you know, what kind of makes him a little bit of a question mark as well. So every one of these guys, like I said, has their own question marks, that teams are going to have to dive into. And that's going to ultimately determine how comfortable these teams are to taking them at which spots in the first round.
Yes, it will. Number two, we mentioned Jalen Phillips and Kwity Paye. We can just leave that graphic up there while we talk about them. Kwity Paye is your number one edge guy, and Jalen Phillips, the other guy to Miami, your number two. Phillips seems to be, I think if I were betting on this right now, like I said, I have Barmore, but I'm a little worried about that just because edge players are much more valued in the NFL draft than you see interior defensive linemen. So I would probably go with Jalen Phillips if I was dabbling in this particular market right now, just because he seems the most likely out of that group to really leapfrog Kwity Paye. Does that seem fair?
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's probably a good direction to take. I'm probably not as high on Christian Barmore as some others in the league. I think he's a really gifted player and a possible first round pick, but there is some buzz that he could possibly go in the top 20. And I don't know if, you know, I would be willing to take him there at that point. You're kind of banking on seeing more consistency at the position and some of the upside that we've seen specifically in the playoffs from this past year. Jalen Phillips, I mean, another long Miami edge rusher. Those Hurricanes were able to kind of rotate the edge rushers this year with Quincy Roche on the other side as well. But Jalen Phillips is a former number one overall high school recruit, committed to UCLA, actually retired from the game for a little bit for medical reasons and decided to transfer to Miami. So that's the biggest question mark surrounding him. You kind of have to dive into, you know, whether that was a flash in the pan, if what we saw this past year is kind of who he's going to be and maybe even continue to develop. I mean, you might even be able to bring more out of him, but I think that's what a lot of these teams are trying to decipher at this point. Is, you know, whether or not they're comfortable taking him with, you know, a premier top half of the first round pick. At the end of the day, I think he probably is a mid to late first round pick. And I look at the Vikings, like you mentioned there at number 14, the Raiders who, you know, love traits, and the Colts as possible fits for Jalen Phillips.
All right. You know what? I think I'm going to revise my take on this one. I'm a little worried. I mean, look, I'm not questioning his dedication to football. I am, however, questioning if a guy took a year off of college football, who is a, you know, premier recruit, premier prospect, you know, premier draft prospect, and a guy who was productive at multi, like he retired for a year because of concussions. How is an NFL team going to draft this guy in the first round?
It's tough, but that's where the conversations that they're able to have with him come into play. I think they're allowed to do 5 Zoom calls this year with each of these prospects that lasts about an hour. So, you know, more than we've seen in years prior, the scouts that have sources inside the building and, you know, do the detective work to kind of dive into his past and talk about his, you know, with his childhood friends and his teachers and, you know, all of his coaches and just trying to get to the bottom of who he is as a person and as a player. You know, and then as they have these personal conversations with him over Zoom as well, you kind of, you know, come to your own.
I may have even phrased that, not to interrupt you, but I wasn't questioning his personal ability, like his personal love of the game. I'm not questioning that at all. I'm questioning if he gets 2 concussions his rookie year, is he going to play beyond 2021? That would be a major concern for me and a major concern for his health, of course. But if you're talking about a top 20 pick. Now the upside is of course there, but that is a pretty substantial risk for a first round pick.
It is. And we're having a similar conversation, albeit a different injury with Virginia Tech cornerback Caleb Farley. You know, that has to be taken into consideration, like you said. So it's a weird year in the sense that, you know, teams would love to get their hands on some of these guys and be able to go over them medically and, you know, kind of determine their own prognosis to report to the head coach, the GM. But, you know, we're having to do things a little bit differently this year.
Yeah, certainly medical is harder to come by. That is a storyline, I think, to watch in the next week. And I don't want Jalen Phillips to slip. I hope he goes in the top 10. Well, actually, I take that back. I think it's top 15 because top 10 will be expensive for me. But I want him to go top 10 because I want him to get some money. But man, it will be interesting to see if an NFL team is if you draft Jalen Phillips in the first round, you're going to be asked questions immediately after the draft about your comfort level with his medicals and what will happen if he suffers concussions his rookie year. So I'm not saying he's going to drop. You know, I think there are plenty of smart talent evaluators and plenty of smart people around the league, you know, plenty of smart people who talk to people around the league that have him high up in their drafts and their mock drafts. But I think that is at least a bit of a red flag on draft night for me if I'm looking at props, to, you know, talking about where he would go, et cetera. Your number one guy, Kwity Paye, who has a great name. Fun name.
It just kind of rolls off the tongue. Strong player, knows how to turn it up when the game, you know, when his team needs him the most. I'm not the biggest fan of his stance pre-snap. It's kind of weird to me. He's almost flat to the ground, which is great if you want to establish leverage and, you know, be more effective in the run game. But he kind of lengthens his stride a little bit and makes it a little slower for him to get out of his break, or at least get off the blocks. So, you know, you can potentially quicken his get off there at the next level. And that's an area where he can improve. I look at the Giants, the Eagles, the Vikings, the Raiders, some of the teams that could possibly be in the mix there for him in the teens. I think that's probably where he's most likely to go, because as we've worked our way through this list, I mean, you kind of see some of the question marks that have unfolded with a lot of these players, and Kwity Paye is probably one of the more clean prospects at the position. So, you know, when you're talking about teams possibly being more risk averse this year, Kwity Paye is one that checks that box.
All right. I got to tell you, I'm not feeling a lot of edge rushers going early on. The one guy you didn't mention there, by the way, Jason Owe. Owe? How did I not get this guy's name right? It's very easy. Is it Owe or Owe?
Owe.
Owe. Come on, Brinson. Get it together. All right. So Jason Owe, you have, I assume he's either 6 or 7 on your edge rankings.
Yeah, he would be 6. He would be 6. You know, he's he's got tremendous potential. I mean, we all saw what he did in his Penn State Pro Day, tested off the charts. His sack production was just simply not there. I mean, he had zero sacks this past year. You know, and a lot of that is finishing capability. He was getting into the backfield. You just got to be able to finish those plays. So, you know, as you're looking through this class, trying to figure out who has the skill set that maybe you can polish a little bit and turn into an all-pro player, Jason Owe is one that kind of jumps off the page as potentially being, you know, a high reward kind of player. We've heard comparisons to Danielle Hunter, who has been very productive with the Vikings, but Danielle Hunter was also a third round pick. So you kind of have to be aware of the investment, but with Owe, it's simply those traits that are going to have teams very interested in the back half of the first round.
Okay. And also I'd point out that if you want to make the Danielle Hunter comp, that's fine. Owe is 22 years old right now. Danielle Hunter was 19 years old when he got drafted. I mean, that's right. A huge difference. You know, that is 3 years to develop into a pass rusher for Danielle Hunter at the professional level with great coaching in terms of the Vikings versus Jason Owe, who, you know, would be 25 at the end of that developmental period and working on a new contract. So, right. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he won't go in the first round or not saying he won't be good, but certainly, you know, the technique, the skill set, the ability to get off the edge, you know, you want to see that early on. And if you don't, that could be something that pushes him down the board. All right. Is there a cash making opportunity on a long shot linebacker to be the first linebacker taken off the board? We might have one. We might have one hooked. We will tell you coming up after the break.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, so we'll get to the bet here in a second. But first, we got to get the back end of the linebacker group. Nick Bolton of Missouri, your number five linebacker in terms of your rankings, Josh.
Yeah, a little bit undersized, but really athletic. He flows sideline to sideline, high volume tackler. Missouri didn't ask him to do a lot in their scheme. And I think that's kind of the concern with him is as he makes the transition to the NFL. I think he's an option for pretty much any team in round two. That does not get their guy in round one. So, you know, we'll talk about the teams that are in the mix for the position in the first round. But I think Nick Bolton is kind of a good, you know, a good piece to get on day two if you decide to go a different route and target different positions on day one.
Okay. You're number two. Sorry, Deba and I discovered a piece of crazy information that we'll get to in a second, but Zaven Collins, your number four linebacker out of Tulsa.
Yeah, he's got great size. He's a little bit more of a traditional linebacker in the sense that, you know, he's going to be able to fit run gaps. He's not as good in coverage as some of these other guys that, we'll discuss shortly, but, you know, again, just a really athletic player. He's strong. He's going to be able to fit a need for some of these teams in the back half of the first round, which is kind of where I project them, late round one, early round two. Look at the Bills, the Packers, and possibly the Jets early in round two as possible fits for Zaven Collins.
Okay. Zaven Collins, yeah. No, Josh, you're allowed to make a tiny, tiny slip up in terms of your pronunciation, especially on this show. Nobody's going to notice if you say Zaven Collins instead of Zaven Collins when I'm out here mangling every fifth name. With these linebackers, are these guys in your top five? And we're talking traditional linebackers, right? Cause I think we've gotten fairly good at being able to put, you know, take, open up the edge bucket and we're going to put the edge guys in the edge bucket. You know, off ball linebackers, stay over here. I wish the NFL would do this with franchise tags. And then defensive linemen, stay over here. But sometimes you get a little, there's a bit of gray area, some Venn diagram action going on there, right? I mean, it's not all cut and dry. Are there any, you know, are some of these linebackers better pass rushers, et cetera? Does anybody stand out to you in that regard?
The number one on this list, Micah Parsons, is probably the most skilled pass rusher of the group. And then the guy number two on the list, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, is going to be the best in coverage. And then number three kind of has the best all-around view of the position. So number three right there on the screen is Kentucky's Jamin Davis, a guy that has gotten a lot of attention as we've gone through this process. I mean, when he first – decided to enter this draft class, I was thinking he was probably like a fifth round pick before I was able to get back around and, you know, watch how he developed over the course of the season. And there were some people who had similar thoughts at the time, but as you work later into his season, you start seeing games against Florida, you know, and Georgia, some of these other teams in the SEC, and you start seeing some of the development. I mean, this is a first year starter. He's going to be 22 at the start of the draft. So, you know, a guy that is still just coming into his own. He's got a lot of football left to learn, but capable of flying sideline to sideline and making plays. He's progressed on his ability to get off blocks. He's fantastic in coverage. I mean, he's probably the only guy that was able to cover Kyle Pitts at the linebacker from the linebacker position this past year. So really talented player. He loves the game of football. I think I've told it on this story on this podcast in the past, but a guy that missed only one meeting during his time at Kentucky, and that's because he got the wrong time. He missed the text that said that the meeting time had changed.
Oh, yeah, that's how you did tell that story out here.
Yeah, and then another story, so Kentucky had their pro day, obviously. His family was scheduled to come into town and visit him, and he said, that's great, but, you know, come after pro day because – I want all of the focus to be on going out there and competing the best that I can. You know, I don't want the additional stress of having to host and all that comes with it right now. So a guy that's very focused on his future, very coachable, and still has a lot to learn at the position. I think he's only going to continue to get better.
All right. So we're going to talk a bit for just a second about this while I try and look up some odds as well, because we have here, you can see up here from William Hill. If you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6, and you can see us as we go through the odds. Jamin Davis is Jamin Davis is 10-1 to be the first linebacker taken. I am trying like heck to find another place where he is listed on, I think I might have it on DraftKings because on my local site, he is 65-1. He is also 10-1 on DraftKings. There's nothing, I can't find anything else, but we know he's 10-1 on William Hill, 10-1 on DraftKings. So if you have a local site or wherever you bet, legally or locally or wherever else you do it, if you're listening to this podcast, go look for Davis, first linebacker drafted, and see what he is, because 65-1, now I got to put two pizza money on it. I got to put maybe three pizza money, Josh. Do you think there's a chance that this guy is the first one drafted? Because when I look at Pete Prisco's mock draft, he has, of these guys who are up here, he has Micah Parsons going 9. I know that Pete feels, and I don't know that he's written this, but I know this is how he feels, that it's possible Parsons could slip. His next linebacker is Zaven Collins, who he has going to the Cardinals at 16. And then he has Davis going to the Washington football team at 19. At 65-1, I got to hammer this, Josh. I what am I missing here?
I mean, we discussed it. I think it's good value.
I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen, just that 65-1 is...
Again, great value. I mean, you're taking... taking out a lottery ticket on a potentially big win. You know, Jamin Davis, I know there's some teams that value him as their second best linebacker in this class. Obviously don't talk to all 32 teams, but, there may be teams that have him rated higher. I don't know. But as we continue to try to parse through, you know, what's going on with Micah Parsons, because like Pete, I, you know, have heard a little bit that he might fall down the board, even into the 20s. I don't think it's likely, but I think it's certainly possible. So if you're looking for a flyer to take, you know, during draft weekend, that's not a bad value, because Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is a little bit more specialized. He's not going to fit everybody in the sense that, you know, again, he's better suited in coverage. You know, so if you're looking for a more traditional linebacker, which is not as common as it was, you know, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, but if you're looking more for a traditional lineman, then, you know, Jamin Davis and Zaven Collins are probably more up your alley. But as we get to Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, like I said,
I was going to point out that, I was texting with Pete Prisco about it too. Two more things just about Davis and why I would take that bet. I'm not taking it at 10 to 1. Don't get me wrong, but at 65 to 1, I'm definitely getting involved in it. Daniel Jeremiah, who I respect as an analyst for NFL Media, has had him in his April 6th mock, the last one, going 26 to the Browns, and noted, I've been president of the Davis fan club for a while now, but to say he destroyed his pro day would be an understatement. It matches what I saw on tape, and he fills a need for Cleveland. I would guess, just a guess, that DJ moves him a little bit higher in his next mock draft if you've got him ranked as your third linebacker. Pete Prisco is hearing good things about him moving up to 19. And if I'm not saying he's going to go in the top 10 or anything crazy like that, but it does feel like this is a guy whose draft stock is rising as we get closer to the draft. And I think when you look at the teams involved up there, Pete just called him a Anthony Barr clone, which I thought was really interesting. You know, I'm not saying Philly is taking him at 12. The Chargers, it wouldn't be crazy for the Chargers to take another linebacker at 13. That's really the weak spot of their defense. I think they'll go offensive line, but the Vikings at 14, I mean, they have Anthony Barr. Patriots at 15 are always involved in a possible, you know, defensive wild card. The Cardinals have taken these versatile linebacker types before. The Raiders need defensive help. Dolphins, Washington, Chicago probably no, and the Colts have Darius Leonard. My point being is that there are, once you get to 12, there are a lot of teams that could just surprise you, I think, in this draft with what direction they go on defense. And that makes a guy at 65 to 1 who's being buzzed about as we lead up to this process a pretty good value. Anywho, on to ahead, sir.
Before we move on, I'll talk a little bit about that pro day, because the Cowboys did have Mike McCarthy and they did have Dan Quinn in attendance. Obviously, two very important pieces to that Cowboys decision-making process. I don't think he's a fit at number 10, but possibly in a trade down scenario. If they were to move back, maybe he's, you know, an option at that point. Cause he's not going to be there for their pick in the second round. So
that's a great call, because remember, this is a team that has Sean Lee, who's gone now, you know, Jalen Smith, they signed that extension. I'm not sure they feel great about it. And then Leighton Vander Esch, who's been dealt with major neck injuries. That's a team that's willing to invest in that position early on in the draft. And they think it matters for their defense. So I don't think that's crazy at all.
Yeah. And I think Washington is a really intriguing fit as well, because you have added to that secondary this offseason. You already had one of the best defensive lines in football. So to add a guy like Jamin Davis there, at 19, I think, you know, it could be a really, really interesting fit. So, I initially said the Giants, the Titans, the Saints and the Browns, were teams that could possibly be interested in the back half of the first round. But I think it's probably trending in the direction where he's going to go higher than what maybe people think. You know, so I'm looking at possibly Washington, that could take him off the board.
And Washington at 19, there ain't no guarantee that Micah Parsons could fall past that.
Yeah.
Owusu could fall past that. Ojulari could fall past that. Zaven Collins could fall past that at 60. I'm not saying you take it at 10 to 1. I don't hate it at 10 to 1. But a 65 to 1, you better believe I'm taking it. I mean, that's, we're looking at these odds on the screen, like Baron Browning, who you better believe I haven't heard of, is, you know, like, it's like he's going to be the first linebacker coming off the board. So, check around your books and see if you got it. I just bought another pizza's worth of Jamin Davis on, as the first linebacker off the board. I will buy his jersey if he's the first guy taken. All right. Owusu-Koramoah. Out of Notre Dame, your number two linebacker.
Yeah, just to go over it quickly again, great in coverage. You know, he's a little bit undersized, so may not be a fit for everybody if you're looking strictly for run fits and stuff like that. But if you're looking for a guy that can be a complimentary piece occasionally as a pass rusher, he certainly brings that to the table. But coverage is his sweet spot. I mean, that's what he does well. And as we look at these teams in the NFL, versatility is everything. You know, so it's good to have, especially as you're looking at, you know, like the Vic Fangio style where, you're looking to use a big nickel and, you know, some guys like that, the Rams have done, the Chargers will probably do this coming year. The Browns do it. You know, there's a number of teams that are kind of employing that kind of a scheme, where you have to think that Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is, a very intriguing fit in the first round because, among that type of skill set and that position group, he's kind of a unicorn in the way that he plays it. I mean, he is so fast and physical and aggressive, everything that you look for at the position. So teams are going to fall in love with him and he's going to fill a very specialized need, for a team that is going to utilize that skill set.
All right. And finally, of course, your number one linebacker, -425 to be the first. This guy's probably going to rip my Davis future apart. Just because of how much better he's considered than all other linebackers on the board. Again, -425 is a crazy number for a single position in a draft like this. I mean, Jamar Chase is -700 at this point to be the first wide receiver. And I don't know. I just don't ever feel good about the only one I'd feel good about doing that with the only position on this entire draft that I feel good about laying the lumber on a massive number in terms of the heavy favorite. It ain't even Penei Sewell. It's Trevor Lawrence. That's the only guy I would consider doing it for. I wouldn't even do it for Zach Wilson second overall. There's only one. I know Wilson's going second, but Lawrence is the only guy. What's that? Do you think Fields second? Is that what you're saying?
No, Kyle Pitts.
Oh, Kyle Pitts first tight end.
Yeah.
That might be a bigger number than Lawrence, honestly.
Probably, yeah, because I think there's.
I haven't even seen that up. I didn't even consider that. I don't think. Well, I don't
that's
think
probably
they,
why.
I don't think they have it on the board. Like Debo, I don't want to make you search around, but if you see, I'll look on there. All right, how about this? Kyle Pitts is -121 to be the first non-quarterback selected. Well, I actually kind of like that. That's not terrible.
It goes back to the conversation we had before the podcast. It just kind of depends what Atlanta does. Atlanta is holding the ticket for a lot of people in their betting futures during
the
draft.
They are.
Because, you know, that's a possible quarterback destination, whether it's them or a trade-up situation. Otherwise, you're looking at probably Kyle Pitts. But a trade would you know, send a massive
shockwaves.
Massive shockwaves throughout the draft and really affect some of these other tickets. So,
And if they trade on the clock, you can't, you know, like if they make the trade on Thursday morning, you can fly under your book and get out of some of the action you got by taking some plus money the other way and hedge out a little bit. If Atlanta trades on the clock, that's going to be an expensive evening for your, if it's Mac Jones 3 into an Atlanta trade out with somebody for a quarterback, I'm hopping in my car and driving to California or just to the airport and flying to Costa Rica. That's how expensive it's going to be. Anywho, Micah Parsons, number one linebacker on your board. Why do we like him?
Just his athleticism. You know, he's fairly polished at the position. I think he offers you a little bit of edge rush potential as well. But a guy that literally covers every blade of grass. I mean, he flies around the football field, capable of dropping into coverage. His performance at his pro day was off the charts, which, as we've discussed in the past, is not uncommon for those Penn State athletes. But I mean, he checks all the boxes. Obviously, some of the off-field concerns is, you know, what could, you know, precipitate his fall. But that's really the only thing. So, as you're looking for possible fits in the first round, I think the Patriots, the Raiders, the Dolphins, possibly even the Giants and the Eagles, they're in the top 12. Although Eagles fans will be quick to tell you they're not going to take a linebacker that early. And I understand where they're coming from, but it is a position of need. So, I mean, he's got a very wide range of options. I mean, those are teams in the teens. And then if he truly does make it into the 20s, you've got a whole new list of teams.
Yeah, it is. It will be interesting to see how Parsons goes. Everybody sort of pencils him at 9 to Denver. And that's fine. Yeah. You know, Denver loves their defensive players. George Patton has, you know, been a part of a Minnesota front office that's drafted a lot of defensive players. But I think it might be folly to just assume he's going to go in the top 10. If I were betting on Parsons, first of all, obviously I'm taking that Davis 65-1 bet. But if I'm betting on something related, Parsons related, I'm taking his over. And it was 10.5. It's moved to 11.5 and now 12.5 in certain spots. So that's what I would be looking for in terms of the Parsons action. All right. That's the linebacker discussion. Josh, you're the best. As always, my friend, good to talk to you.
Original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.